Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete.
On today's show, we'll be talking about web-based information about blindness issues and eye diseases. But first, we're going to celebrate White Cane Day with lots of information about white canes. And at the end, we'll finish up with this really cool pair of eyeglasses that you can get that will protect you from obstacles at head level. Turning first to our tip of the week. This week's tip is use the cane that's right for you and right for the situation. Pete has at least a dozen canes around the house. Some of them are quite different from each other.
Yeah, each one serves a little bit of a different purpose, but they're all a little bit different. And we'll discuss later on in the show some of the differences. We have some canes that I have that are, you know, pretty sturdy if I'm on my own or trotting around through rougher terrains or moving more quickly. Some canes that are pretty lightweight and that may fold up and fit in a pocket or a purse. And then there are, of course, intermediate ones. You know, we do the two extremes, but then you have things in between, too, that fold up to different lengths or maybe different weights and heights and things like that. So we'll talk about some of the specifics and why you might choose a cane that's right for what you're doing at the time.
Well, don't forget the one we bought just because it was cool.
Well, since we're kind of geeky people, we saw this carbon fiber cane from the National Federation of the Blind. So we ordered that, and it really is kind of neat. We use that quite a bit.
Yeah, fortunately, it hardly weighs anything at all because it's in residence in my purse, just in case Pete needs it.
It's a good show thing for people, too. We bring it out sometimes when we're among some of our scientist friends and say, hey, you want to say something really cool? And we take out our little cane and pass it around. They're all very impressed with how light it is and sturdy.
Also, in honor of White Cane Day, we'd like to announce something nice that our local Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired here in Rochester, New York does, which is on White Cane Day, they will allow anybody to come in with one white cane that they will be happy to retape and retip and refurbish for free. You know, one thing about white canes, the whole point of them is that you're supposed to walk into obstacles with it instead of with you. And they sometimes get beaten up, right, Pete?
Well, yeah, and that reflective tape on the bottom, as I recall, can get pretty scraped up and, you know, even dinged off. So some of the reflective tape is even gone. So some people wonder, you know, what's on the bottom of all this crud you have in your cane. If you use it a lot and knock it into things, it will get scraped off.
And
so
the
it's
less,
good to get it replaced.
Right. The less reflective tape you have on the cane, the less visible it is to people who need to see it.
Right. And the tips do wear out also. I mean, these metal tips, you know, they're hard, but when they're hitting hard concrete and rough concrete and stuff all the time, they will wear out. I used to rotate mine like you'd rotate tires. I would just turn it around 180 degrees so I could get twice the life out of one of my tips. But eventually you have to replace them.
Oh, and the plastic tips, the same thing happens, only quicker. Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking more specifically about the various types of canes and where they can be obtained. Even though we just told you that we've got at least a dozen of these things around the house, every once in a while we need a new one. Maybe we lost one or whatever, but occasionally we need a new one.
Well, the first time I ever lost a cane was when I was learning to use a cane, and I learned in my mid-20s, just before graduate school or so. But anyways, we were trotting down the street, and I had my cane instructor following down maybe 20, 30 feet behind me or so. And we were going through an exercise where I had to figure out where to cross the street. And they want you to feel for where it was straight so you could walk straight across the street and not at an angle. And so I finally found where I was going to cross, and I took my cane up in one hand and sort of jabbed it into the ground and said, "And I will pass the street here." And as I did, the cane fell into an open sewer grate and out of my hands. I guess I wasn't holding on tight enough. That was the first cane I lost, but it wasn't the only one I lost.
So why don't we review some of the types of canes? when I first met you, pretty much you were always using one of those really long, stiff canes. And then you had some aluminum ones too, right?
Right. So some of the aluminum ones, what was nice about them is most of them were segmented one way or another. So either they would telescope, you could push the segments together, or you could pull the segments apart and they were attached with little bungee cord, stretchy material in between. And so if you needed a cane that was going to be a little bit smaller, that if you didn't want this, you know, 5 or 6 foot object with you all the time, and you were going to a restaurant and you wanted to hide it in a corner or under your chair, you could pull these canes apart or push them together and they'd fold up to maybe, I don't know, a foot and a half or something like that. The disadvantage of those is that they're a little bit heavier. And when you tap them on the ground, they don't really bounce back and have all the springiness that a fiberglass cane does. So you have to manhandle it a little bit more. And if you're moving quickly, it can be a little bit of a strain on your wrist. Also, these canes, if they do get bent, so if you're walking quickly and you get caught in the sidewalk or some pedestrian runs over your cane, which has been known to happen when people aren't looking, these will get bent and they don't bend back into their original position. So they can you can wind up with a pretzel for a cane, and that's not so good.
And well, sometimes if you're really lucky, after you've just mangled your cane, like Pete did one memorable time when we were out in the woods in the Adirondacks on a hike, and there we were with a mangled aluminum segmented cane that wasn't going to go back together unless something extreme happened to it. And sure enough, a troop of Boy Scouts came along in the woods. It was just like a Mel Brooks movie, you know, when the right thing happened at just the right time. And sure enough, one of them was prepared and had just the right tool, fixed the cane, and we were good to go. And we thanked him.
That was pretty funny to have them come marching out of the woods just at the right time.
So now you need to actually talk about your really cool cane.
Oh, the carbon fiber cane that we got. So this one is actually pretty neat. As we said, it's really light, which is a good thing. And it's, how long is it?
It's about 8 inches.
Yeah, so
but
it can fit in my pocket.
It expands out to your regular cane length, which I believe is 58 inches?
Something like that, yeah. I don't use it for every day or when I'm alone because it's not quite as sturdy. It is a little bit more flimsy than some of my other more durable canes, but it can be quite handy. I like that cane.
So if you've got a white cane, you probably know where you got it, or maybe you just have your favorite source for white canes. But we thought we'd just review a couple of places where you can get them. There are some commercial catalogs that we've come to rely upon. MaxiAids at www.maxiaids.com or area code 800-522-6294. Independent Living Aids, or ILA, they're at www.independentliving.com. That's all one word. And their phone number is 800-537-2118. LS and S Group, and they can be reached at www.lssproducts.com. Or their phone number is 800-468-4789. In Canada, there's a company called Ambutech that actually manufactures an awful lot of white canes in various styles, and they can be reached at www.ambutech.com. That's A-M-B-U-T-E-C-H, and their phone number is 800-561-3340. Or in the U.S., you can contact our National Federation of the Blind at www.nfb.org and look for the links that says Products and Technology. And their phone number is 410-659-9314. And then we learned something really nice that the National Federation of the Blind might do for you, which is any blind individual in the 50 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico may request a cane for their personal use. Requests may be made as often as every 6 months. You get a straight fiberglass cane available in lengths anywhere from 25 to 63 inches for free.
Now, how cool is that?
Right, and all you need to do is click on the link that says Request a Free White Cane in their Products and Technology section.
You are listening to Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is blind DLs, blogs, magazines, etc., for supporting each other, and other websites with lots and lots and lots of information about various eye diseases and conditions. So let's start with some of these DLs, which stands for distribution list. They can also be thought of as discussion groups or online support groups or whatever. These are places where lots of individuals can contribute their thoughts on a particular topic.
And typically what you do is subscribe to this mailing list. They'll have links to click on to say, if you want to subscribe, click here or fill out this form and hit the submit button. And then you'll get mailings from this group, and you can mail things to this group that'll get posted to all the members of the group.
And then you can read everything that everybody else has posted. So we already talked about the National Federation of the Blind being a place where you can buy white canes and other assorted stuff you might need if you've got a visual impairment. But they also sponsor and have a list of dozens of available DLs.
Yeah, there are all kinds of, I was looking through there last week, and they have all kinds of specialty groups. There's one for blind folks doing math, for musicians, for educators. Some of them are regional, so they may have like a Tennessee group of blind folks or Arizona group of blind folks. So there's all kinds of different things. Just look through the list and see what interests you, and they make it very easy to sign up for these mailings.
Not surprisingly, they have a special website that you can go to find their distribution lists, and that's www.nfbnet.org for National Federation of the Blind. And from there, you just click on the link that says Join or Drop NFBNet Mailing Lists. And you'll see the whole list there, and you can join whichever ones you want. Try it out. If after a week or two you discover they're not talking about stuff you're interested in, well, it's just as easy to get off the list.
Yeah, and usually for most distribution lists, they'll have instructions in each mailing that they'll have a link for unsubscribing, so they make it very easy to unsubscribe from the list. They'll also usually have another link for how do you post the message to the group. So in case you get confused about that and you're looking for directions, generally either at the top of each mailing or the bottom, they'll include a couple of lines about that.
Now, there are some other products that have so many users, and they're a little bit complicated. So users will want to talk to each other and get tips about, well, geez, you know, I'm trying to make this device do whatever. Can you give me some help? In particular, the Victor Reader Stream from HumanWare, which is a book reader, has its own users group. Now, this is kind of a long web address, but I'll give it to you anyway. mail.vrstreamusers.org/mailman/list-info/vrstream_vrstreamusers.org. Now, if you caught all of that, you're a better person than I am.
But there's lots of, as Nancy says, there's lots of, if you have a particular product, there's often a distribution list or mailing list associated with that product where you can ask questions about how to use it, offer advice to others on how to use it when they have questions. And these are great ways of meeting other people, learning how to use your device, and learning some new features and things.
So here are a few others. GW Micro has mailing lists for users of window eyes and other products and information about their products. And that would be at www.gwmicro.com/support/email_lists. And for most of these long, complicated web addresses, you can just go to the home address. So in this case, gwmicro.com, and eventually, you'll be able to navigate your way down to where they have their mailing lists. Freedom Scientific keeps lists relating to their products, such as JAWS, the PacMate, OpenBook, OCR software, etc. And again, you can go to just their home site, which is www.freedomscientific.com, or if you can remember this, go to www.freedomscientific.com/support/ user-groups.asp.
There you go.
There you go.
So those are a bunch of distribution lists for specific products or specific manufacturers that offer a variety of products. But, you know, as you know, there are other types of distribution lists that are specific to topics. So, for example, I've talked a bunch on this list about the MIDI mag list. So MIDI is a type of musical interface, and this MIDI mag list is a list for blind musicians who are into performing, production, all kinds of things. And I've learned a lot from there, and I've also been able to share some of my knowledge with other people. So that's been a good list. You can find more information about them and how to join their list. Their main website is www.midimag.org. That's MIDIMAG.org.
There are also a number of blogs. This is less interactive, although many of them have an opportunity to comment on the author's blog, but it's kind of an ongoing magazine or whatever, where the author provides every day or month or whenever they feel like it, additional information about the subject at hand. One of the primary ones is www.fredshead.info. That's F-R-E-D-S-H-E-A-D. And that comes from the APH. And it's been winning awards for years in a row from the Access Awards.
Well, that one's interesting because it has a lot of information on new technologies, links to other gadgets and tools you might use and utilities. So that's a very useful one.
And they even have an associated Twitter feed, which is at Fred's Head. Of course, you only get 140 characters at a pop, but I suppose you can convey a fair amount of information if you use multiple tweets.
Well, there's a lot of these other blogs that you talked about that are actually more in the spirit of blogs. So, for example, there are a number of, if you Google blindness blogs, I found a number of just personal blogs. So there was a blind housewife in someplace in our area, as a matter of fact, who just blogged, which means she just wrote about on the net, about her daily experiences living as a blind mother and taking her kids to school and taking care of the house and interacting with the neighbors, et cetera, et cetera. And so there's several blogs like that around, which offer a more personal sort of daily view of people's lives. They can be kind of interesting if you're looking for some kind of support and, you know, think you're the only one in your particular situation.
Well, and even if you know there's obviously other people in your situation, you can find out, well, how do they deal with this particular issue that I'm trying to figure out? How am I going to work this out?
You're not alone. It's a big web and a big world out there. So there are also a bunch of magazines that we found when we were looking around the web, right?
Yeah. In fact, a few weeks ago, we talked with Byron Lee from Horizons for the Blind, which is an organization outside Chicago, Illinois. And one of the other services that they provide is they distribute and publish a magazine that's written for, but also written by, blind people. And that's the Horizons for the Blind magazine.
We have a magazine that we produce each month, written mostly by blind volunteers, mostly people that work at Horizons for the Blind, but a few friends that are not in our offices. It's called Seeing It Our Way. And in that magazine, we have several varied columns. I write a computer column, so I give you computer tips and advice. One of our employees, Cassandra, has a column called Cassandra's Corner, where she tells you where you can buy some interesting gadgets and gizmos and toys and cooking items. She's always kind of finding interesting things for your home that that you might want to buy. And then our friend Dick Bledsoe does a book review. We also have Spotlight on Sports from one of our friends in Peoria named Brian. And then we have knitting and crocheting patterns that we distribute per each month. We have poetry and we have recipes. We also have a observations and stories column by one of our newest writers, Leslie. She's kind of like the female Paul Harvey. She's got a lot of interesting things to talk about in her column. So if you're interested in Seeing It Our Way, you can check out our website or call us at 815-444-8800 to get a subscription. and this helps fund other Horizons for the Blind projects. It does come in large print and in Braille. We don't have it in audio at the moment because it would take quite an undertaking to produce a monthly magazine in audio. But that is something that we're looking at possibly doing in the future.
So that's another interesting source of information. And then, as we promised, we're going to mention a couple of websites that have information about actual eye diseases and eye conditions. And whatever your condition is, I'm sure you can find lots and lots of information. So, of course, Google anything. You know, if you have macular degeneration, just go to www.google.com and type in macular degeneration. You'd be amazed how much information there is out there. But if you really want to just go to an organization that you trust, that you maybe know something about, there's a couple of major ones. In the United States, we have the National Eye Institute of the National Institutes of Health, and they have a great accessible website at www.nei.nih.gov, or you can call them at 301-496-5248. And in the UK, there's the Royal National Institute for Blind People at www.rnib.org.uk. And you can call them at 0303-123-9999. And among other things, they have a section of events that they sponsor. So if you've ever wanted to try skydiving, or if you want to do a group bicycle ride from London to Paris.
Thanks.
They have international trekking trips. They'll take you up to Machu Picchu or through the Himalayas. I mean, how much better can it get?
So when are we going skydiving?
No. But they strap you into somebody who knows what they're doing and who can see, and they promise they get you down safely.
I can't wait.
So as usual, we will have all of these relevant URLs available at the Reach Out Radio office, or you can look at our show website at www.viewpointsplus.net in the show notes for number 1141. Turning now to this week's high-tech item, we found these and we just thought they were possibly even cooler than that carbon fiber cane. The Eyeglasses Ultrasonic Obstacle Detecting Glasses, and that's spelled lowercase I, capital G-L-A-S-S-E-S, and that's a registered trademark. These things look like regular sunglasses, but they have an ultrasonic obstacle detection device in them, and it will let you know when you're getting close to something that's at head or chest level, whereas your white cane is pretty much only protecting the lower half of your body. You know, if there's an overhanging branch or sign, or, oh my gosh, we went to a lamp store today and they had chandeliers and tags, and you would not believe what was hanging from the ceiling. And I'm a little shorter than Pete, so found a lot of them.
You mean if I get a pair of these, I won't have to wear my football helmet around when I wander around anymore?
Either that or get yourself a taller wife.
Oh, okay.
But these things are really cool, so let's hear a little demo.
Hello. If you're a long cane user like I am, you're going to know what it's like when you bang your head on overhead branch or post or something that's at head height and gets in your way. A white cane is brilliant for protecting the lower half of your body. But ever since I've been blind, we've been looking for some device that you could use to protect your upper body and particularly your face. And things have been designed in the past, and of course they all sound really great until somebody says, oh yes, it's fantastic, this device, and it only costs £1,000. Now at last, RNIB in the UK and Ambutech in Canada have come up with what I think is a brilliant solution, the eyeglasses. They're like a regular pair of sunshades, and they cost less than $100 US. In fact, £79 in the UK. So they're very simple, and I can just put them on like an ordinary pair of stylish glasses. And on the right-hand side is a small button. And when I press it, you'll hear it bleep. Now, it bleeped 3 times, and that tells me that the battery is 3/4 full. And that's a very useful bit of information to have. The eyeglasses are ultrasound. They send out beams from just above the nose, and when they hit an object, the eyeglasses start to vibrate. So your hearing doesn't get blocked. There's no need to wear headphones, so you can still use your ears to pick up all the vital information that's going on around you. But you'll find, feel a gentle vibration above the bridge of your nose, which gets stronger and more intense the closer you get to something. So there's nothing in front of me at the moment, so the eyeglasses are silent. But let me raise my hand, and there you can hear immediately that the eyeglasses have detected it. What happens is, as you approach something, it starts off with an intermittent buzz and then goes to an intense continuous vibration the nearer you get. And you just have to stop and look around to find a gap where there's no noise, and then you can proceed safely. The eyeglasses must be used with a cane, or possibly with a dog, or even a not-so-competent sighted guide. They can't be used on their own. They will just protect your head. And now I'm going to turn these off, and you'll hear they tell you that they've been successfully turned off and you're saving energy. That's the RNIB Ambutec eyeglasses.
And those are available from the Royal National Institute for Blind People, or RNIB, as well as Ambutec in Canada, and we gave you their contact information just a few minutes ago. That's it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about GPS units that were designed for the visually impaired. If you can't read the street signs or even find them, it's still nice to be able to get around independently. And we will review several different ways to do that, including various GPS options. We'll also explain how to use a PC-based mapping tool or the free Tell Me phone service for getting directions. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcasts link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.